Good morning. We have two readings today. Our first reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Second reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, "When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." What does "he ascended" mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm just going to pray for Maureen before she preaches. Father God, I thank you for this woman of God. I thank you for the gifts that you've put in her. And I thank you, Father, that she is here to speak your word. And I pray your anointing would rest on her, Lord, that the words she speaks would penetrate our hearts and our spirits, and Lord, that we would be transformed, because your word is powerful. It breaks rocks. It's a hammer, and it doesn't return void. So I just pray your blessing on her this morning. Amen.
Amen. Okay. My name is Maureen. This is my home church, and I serve in the children's ministry. I'm thankful to Pastor Daniel, he's not here this morning, and also for the church for the opportunity to bring God's word to you today. Monica did a wonderful summary of what we have been doing for the past 2 weeks, starting with Pastor Chris's message on the Father's love, which has brought us into the fold of God through Jesus. And last week, we heard Pastor Daniel talking to us about how the death of Christ and his resurrection has given us his Spirit, who lives inside us, and the Spirit of God bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And once again, the Holy Spirit, he communicates God's love. He is the messenger of God's love. And he brings us into fellowship with the Trinity. Today, I am speaking to you about the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the empowerment that the Holy Spirit grants the church. I define empowerment this way: divine enablement to live like Jesus and do the things that he did. And the Spirit does this work through us and in us. Jesus in 1 John 4:17 says that as he is, so are we also in this world. And his divine power, Peter said, has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. I want you to tell yourself, I have been empowered to do exploit for the kingdom of God. I have the Holy Spirit in me to do exploit for the kingdom of God. that is you, child of God. You have been given the power of the Holy Spirit to do exploits for his kingdom. In today's text, we see Jesus nearing the end of his time on earth. He was about to ascend to his Father in heaven. And he had these final moments with his disciples, a time when he transferred his mission and authority to them. Luke, the writer of Acts, opens his book by making reference to his account of the gospel, which tells of what Jesus began to do and to teach, a continuity of the Acts of the Apostles, which tells of what the risen and ascended Lord continues to teach and to do through his Spirit by his people. Matthew Henry's commentary on Acts of the Apostles says, what he began to do and to teach laid the foundation for all that was to be taught and done in the Christian church. The apostles were to carry on and continue what Jesus began and to do, and for us also to do the same things. So Christ sets them in, and then he left them to go on by his Holy Spirit to empower them in the very things that he did. What is this life of Jesus and ministry that he was empowered to do, that he continues to do that in us? In his life and ministry, from the account of the gospel, we see that Jesus came to teach about the kingdom of God. His ministry was about the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, which is the divine rule in human hearts, lives, and situation. And in the gospel, we see the hearts of Jesus, his hearts of compassion, hearts of love, mercy for the poor, the vulnerable, the outcast, and the powerless. He demonstrated the life of the kingdom and its power with signs and wonders. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He set the captives free. So in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he read this about himself from the prophet Isaiah, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And the disciples of Jesus witnessed this in his lifetime. And Peter, when the Holy Spirit took him to the house of Cornelius, and he was giving testimony about the risen and ascended Lord, said this of him, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. And if the disciples of Jesus were going to live out the life of the kingdom and to demonstrate its power as Jesus did, then it was necessary for them to be enabled by the same Spirit that authorized Jesus' ministry. Jesus therefore commanded them to wait for the promise of the Father, to wait for the gift that my Father has promised will be coming to you. So the coming and abiding of the Holy Spirit was imperative to the life of the church. The power of the Holy Spirit we cannot do without. The enablement of the Holy Spirit the church cannot do without. In John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 22, we see Jesus, when he rose from the dead and met with his disciples for the first time, he breathed on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. As my Father sent me, so I also send you." The Holy Spirit here sealed the commission of the apostles. By the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Matthew Henry writes that the Holy Spirit here will be poured out upon the disciples, upon the church, upon the people of God in plenty measures. So we will have plentiful of everything of him. They now will have larger measures of his gift, his grace, his comfort. And this alludes to the promise of the Holy Spirit coming that the prophet Joel spoke about in Joel 2:28. In the last days, God said, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And this was the moment. Jesus, in his farewell messages and sermons to his disciples, in John chapter 14 and 15, said, assures them of the Holy Spirit coming to them after his departure. He said to them that, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will ask the Father to give you another advocate who will be with you forever." Praise the Lord. "I will send another advocate. I will ask the Father, and the Holy Spirit will come and he will be with you forever." So he said that it is better for you that I go. If I don't go, the Spirit will not come. In my absence, you need my Spirit. In my absence, you need my power to do my work. And so the Spirit will come, and he will abide with you forever. Church, the Holy Spirit is with us forever. That is the gift that redemption gave us. And Jesus uses the Greek word that means advocate and helper, referring to the Holy Spirit. And that those words means that another of the same kind, one who is like him, who is just like himself, a counselor, a comforter, helper, an intercessor. So he will guide you into all truth. He will lead you. And so it's like me being with you. So he will do whatever I would have done. And so Jesus here tells us that the coming of his Spirit is so important to our life as Christians and to our ministry. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 6, we see that Jesus himself sends his disciples to go out and work, to go out and preach about the kingdom. And in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, we see that the Holy Spirit also sending the disciples. He said that, "Set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work which I have called them to do." The Holy Spirit is a person. Like we heard in Pastor Daniel's sermon last week, he's not a force or just a power or a thing. We can relate to him. We can speak to him. He can speak to us. And we can hear him. And so Jesus wants us, first of all, to have a relationship with his Spirit. Because it is out of that relationship that those works will flow. Amen. We can hear the Spirit speaks to us. And so being in fellowship with him, a relationship with him, is key. I remember when I was in my second year in the university, we embarked on a mission trip to northern Ghana. And during that, when we were at camp, we had like scheduled for going out to preach, going out to visit, time for crusades, and we also had times for meals and all that. And one day we had fasted, and everyone on the team was really hungry, and so we broke bread, we ate, and afterwards we prayed, and everyone went to sleep. And the rules that time was that once you go to bed, that is it. Till the next morning, you don't wake up. And in the middle of the night, I couldn't sleep. My stomach will not allow me. I was really hungry. Around 1 a.m. And I knew that I couldn't go out also to eat at the pantry. And so I was just asking myself, what would I do? I watched the clock and it was like 1 a.m. Counting the time, and it was like, it's not going to happen. No way I could sleep without food. So I asked the Holy Spirit, God, I am hungry. I cannot sleep without food. And he impressed upon my spirit, just go to the pantry and eat. And in me, I was very fearful because I knew that the rules were, you don't come once you go to bed. And I just told myself that, okay, I'm hearing this from you, so I will just go and eat. As I opened the door, about to enter the pantry, I was just looking around, like, will my leaders see me? Will they find me? What will they say? And so immediately I opened the door, about to enter the pantry, I saw my leader coming, and I started panicking. I was like, don't worry. We were praying, and the Holy Spirit told us that you were really hungry, and you needed to eat at this time, so you will be coming out. So we should give you whatever you want to eat. So that is the pantry. Just go eat whatever you want to eat. And for me, it was an incredible moment. I was like, how real are you? He is real. The Holy Spirit is real. And by the death, burial, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, we have received these gifts of him through Christ. And Bible says, the reading that Chloe read for us from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 13, we heard that when he ascended on high, he gave gifts to his people. And spiritual gifts are God's ability distributed to his people to continue the mission of Jesus here on earth. Amen. So Christ himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The nature of God's gift is free. We did nothing to merit the gifts of God, just as our salvation. And it is diverse. It is not hierarchical. And God grants it to all his children. It is not for selected few, not for talented individuals. Because the Spirit of Christ living in us enables us to walk in step with God's heart for the world, to proclaim the good news, to make disciples of all nations, to teach with authority and with power, to raise the dead, to pray for the sick. What a good news. What a place that we have been brought to. And this Jesus said in John 14:12, that whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he also will do, but will do greater works. Greater works you will do because I go to my Father. Jesus' own ministry was limited. He limited his ministry to Israel. And for his disciples, the church, he said, will advance the cause of the kingdom, will advance his mission to the ends of the earth. So he made this bold declaration of our participation in the kingdom work because of the power of God, because of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was going to come upon the church, and the scope and the influence of the church was going to go abroad. And this is the work that you and I have been invited into. Praise the Lord. So Acts 1:8 says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. You will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes. Witness about Jesus is only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. For no one can testify of the risen Lord if they don't have the Spirit of God in them. And you and I have been empowered, hallelujah. You and I have received strength to do this. And it is not in us. It is not in us. It is not in us, in our own strength and with our own power. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says that, for we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Our sufficiency is Him. Our ability to do is Him. He is the one that empowers us to do. So, church, I want to announce to you this morning that you are powerful more than you think. You are powerful more than you think. The power of resurrection, the power that made resurrection possible, the power that raised Jesus from the dead resides in you. To do the works that Jesus did. To go about as Jesus went about. In the power and in the strength of Jesus. That is the Holy Spirit. So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within us, enabling us to carry out his work with boldness, with clarity, and with supernatural strength. So we need to believe God and pray for the miraculous and expect greater things for the advancement of the kingdom of God. I think I have shared here before when we went on mission trip once again in northern Ghana, that when we got there, the people were not very receptive at the beginning because they said that it had not rained for a long time in this place. So if we are going to hear you, we're going to listen, we're going to receive this gospel, whatever you brought to us, you know, if your God is God, then pray that it will rain in this place. And we felt that, okay, that's a great challenge, but it's not a great challenge because God does it. And he does it through his Holy Spirit. Ours is to avail ourselves, and it is his to do. So we prayed and trusted God. And I remember one night as the team, we gathered and we were praying, Oh, the rains came down. The rains came down, and it rained continuously for 3 days. And when the rain stopped, people started coming to our camp. The villagers started coming. The town started coming to listen, to hear about the gospel. The power of God is real. And by this, we planted so many churches in the village and in the nearby communities. And this was possible because the Holy Spirit was at work in us. The Holy Spirit was at work through us. And he manifested himself. He confirmed our words with signs and wonders, just as he did in the days of Jesus. Church, that is what Jesus is able to do through his Spirit in us. So I want you to pray. I want the church of God to pray and believe God. Believe him for greater things. Believe him for the miraculous. Believe him for the things that only he can do through us and in us. The purpose of God's power, God's Spirit in our midst, the purpose of this empowerment is for us, like we heard in the readings, to equip the people of God for service so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. We have been empowered for service. We have been empowered, equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit to serve. And so here, to equip the saint for service, the Greek word implies a recovered wholeness. We being part of God's body, as we bring our giftings to bear, as we engage our giftings faithfully, as we serve, we paint a holistic and a comprehensive picture of Jesus. We paint who Jesus really is to the world. By our service, by our engagement, by bringing whatever we have in us, we serve this way, and we uplift the name of Jesus. We give a comprehensive picture of who he is. So if the church fails to deploy our gift to serve, our gospel becomes truncated. Amen. Our gospel becomes truncated, missing something. So you bring yours, I bring mine, she bring hers. We are part of God's body. Like 2 Corinthians 12:2 tells us, we are part of God's body. We've been given diverse gifts. And what you bring matters. No one is left out. We are all involved. What you bring matters to the kingdom of God. What I bring matters to the kingdom of God. And so we have been given these gifts of God. We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to serve in all the places that he has placed us. To edify the body of Christ. As we serve with our giftings, as we bring our gifts to service, the internal structure, the core, the body is strengthened. So we receive our strength as we all come together and as we all get involved. And so the Holy Spirit, you know, by this, he deals with independence and isolation. As we bring our gifts by his power and in his strength, we become one unified whole. And this unity becomes evident to the world. And so it says that until we come to this place of unity in the body, we attain wholeness. We attain wholeness in Christ. I want to ask this question that, what does it mean to live a spirit-powered life that reflects the life and the ministry of Jesus? For you, what does that mean? For me, I think it's about living a life of trust and dependency on the Holy Spirit first, cultivating a relationship with him and faithfully using your gift to serve the church, using your gift to serve God, using your gift to the advancement of the kingdom. So you engage, we all engage, and we deploy our service, our giftings to serve. God has called us, each one of us, each one of us, to be co-workers with him and to share in what he is doing in the world. God has called us to share in his joy. The redemptive story is a joyous story. It's a good news. And God has called you and I to be part of what he is doing in this world. And so, as we think about this, it is also true that at times it may sound a bit scary. At times it may look a bit fearful. But once again, we know that the strength to do is not in us. It is him. So by the encouragement, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we want to step out in faith. Hallelujah. And even try new things. We want to step out in boldness, knowing once again that this all-surpassing power is with God and not us. And we have the Holy Spirit in us to do. And at times, it may be discouraging also, because in the moment, we may not see the results. Hallelujah. We need to remember, Scripture said, one planted, Paul planted, Apollos watered, the increase who brought? God brought the increase. So at times, we may be discouraged, but the Holy Spirit knows what he is doing. So we need to keep up. We need to be encouraged in the strength and in the might of the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was about finishing university, my last days, I was in my hostel and I was just reflecting on how things, how life has been for me. And I was thinking through my service to God, if I had really been faithful. So I started crying. I'm a crier, by the way. I cry a lot. I started crying and I'm like, God, I think I've disappointed you. I think I've not done well enough. I think I should have done better. And as I was crying and praying, I heard a knock on my door. I was a student leader then. And the student leaders, our names and numbers and our hostels were printed for the students, so that anytime they want to find you or talk to you, they can come there. So you can even have visitors unannounced. So I had a visitor unannounced that day when I was praying. This guy came in and he was like, Yeah, I have been thinking about you for some time now, and I felt it was a great moment for me to come and share this with you as you are leaving campus. So I said, okay, what do you have to bring? And he said that, I want you to know how much you have encouraged me, and not just me. In my hostel, I heard some guys also talking about how much you have encouraged them. Because I used to do preach in the lecture theaters before lectures began sometimes. And so like these guys were living in the same hostel with this guy who had come to me. And he was telling me all that. But the story was just to encourage me that I have been a great encouragement to them. And I have been leading many to the saving knowledge of Christ, and that was incredible. And to him, it was an encouragement to him. So he wanted to come and tell me. And when he left, I cried the more. And I'm like, God, I thank you that this was for your glory. So sometimes when we feel discouraged and it's like we have not done much, don't worry, it is not about you. It is about him. And there are moments also that we try in deploying our giftings and serving the church and obeying the gospel. There are times also that, you know, things don't happen. I don't know if you've had moments in your life where you felt encouraged to pray for the sick and they did not get well. Can I have a witness? You felt like, okay, God, I feel you are encouraging me to pray for this person. So I have another story. An aunt of mine who knew about our missionary endeavors and have witnessed the miraculous under the ministry, once called some of my friends and I that this friend of mine has this son who has not been talking since he was born. And now he's 6 years old. Can you come and pray for him so that he will be well? So we went, we fasted and we prayed. And we went to pray for him days and days and days, but it did not happen. Was God at work? Was God at work? God is always at work. God shows up in his time. The prerogative rests with him. Ours is just to be obedient and step into the places where he has called us. So we have been empowered to get involved in the church. What gifts do you have? And how are you participating in God's kingdom today? Some of us, we wish to do, but it looks like we don't really know. And we can know by prayerfully discerning what those godly aspirations we have. What are the areas in God's kingdom that gives you joy? Where do trusted people in your life affirm you? What moves you or what breaks your heart in this world? Those can be pointers to your giftedness, to the gifts, and to the things that God has called you to do. And I love this quote by Frederick Buechner that says that the place God calls you to be is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meets. Hallelujah. Probably you know and you have identified your gift. Are you faithfully serving with those gifts? The Holy Spirit needs our availability. If we will avail ourselves to him, as a matter of fact, how much of you give him determines how far he will go with you. We want God to do with our lives. God, we want your glory to fall. Use us as your instrument of peace, to bring peace, to bring hope, to bring joy into this world. How ready are you to give yourself for that cause? We need to be ready and we need to avail ourselves. I encourage you today that fan the flame, those giftings, kindle them. And you do this by praying and by fellowshipping with him. In the word and in prayer, yield continuously. Yield. Avail yourself. Give yourself to God. God, I yield to you today. I pray that, God, when I'm confused, I don't know what to do, I pray this simple prayer, that Holy Spirit, hover over my mind. I yield the members of my body to you as instrument of righteousness. Use me today for your cause. God wants us to take action. Tell your neighbor, take action. Take action. We need to take action. We need to step up to do in this church. There are many things you can do here. Do you want to? Is it sound that you are gifted to do? Is it music that you are gifted to sing? To be here? Is it the children's ministry where I am? And I invite all of you. Where have you been gifted to deploy your service? Take action. Take action. And in taking action, you know this truth that the all-surpassing power is from who? It's from God. The all-surpassing power is from God. And he has called you to do greater works. He has called you to advance his kingdom. And this includes everyone in the body. As we come and do this, the world will see. As we come, as we loved even the vulnerable, the disabled among us, the children, by our love, the world sees how Jesus is. The world sees the love of Jesus. The world is touched by that, and they can run to him as well. As I bring my message to a close, I want to read this in conclusion. Romans chapter 12, verse 4-8. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is given, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it with diligence. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And knowing once again that we have received the power of God to live out a transformative life, and the power is to enable us to serve one another effectively. By this, the cause of Jesus is advanced in this world. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word that has come to us. It's my prayer and heart cry that you will continue to rest upon us, Holy Spirit, and move us to do your bidding. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.